live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 186. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, doing just fine. What's the good word on this wonderful Tuesday special? Well, not necessarily special because usually our show's on Wednesday, but it used to be our original time slot, right? If anybody remembers some of our old episodes. But man, everything's fine and dandy on this Tuesday evening, man. Ready to talk some sports.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a big show this evening. A lot of sports going on. NFL, college football, MLB postseason. The NBA starts back up tonight. A lot of stuff going on. Best time of the year, I believe, with everything going on. Check us out, Facebook Live page. We are live streaming on the Crossroads Facebook page. Also, shout out to our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Shout out to Mavericks Custom Motorsports, and as well as I'm missing
Wiseman Logistics.
Yes, Wiseman Logistics. Wiseman. I about said Wise Man, but they're Wiseman Logistics. Three Wiseman Logistics.
Yes, here's the correct. Yes. Matter before we even get to anybody looking for a job, I know, you know what I'm saying, coming out of, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of the, you know what I'm saying, unemployment, whatnot, Wiseman Logistics is hiring. And they're hiring, and they're looking to hire. They're Amazon. If anybody doesn't know, you know what I'm saying, they're our latest and our newest show sponsor. If you are looking for a job, please check out our socials. The number is on there. The website link is on there. But if you need it because, you know, you're too lazy. Sorry, I'm just saying, Brandon. If you're too lazy, I'm going to spell it out for you. It's Wiseman Logistics, WISEMEN.com. And just fill out an application if you're looking for a job. Like I said, they're Amazon delivery, local Amazon delivery company. And like I said, they're hiring, you know what I'm saying, with all the, you know what I'm saying, Brandon. I potentially don't have to give me a job. You know what I'm saying? Part-time and full-time, they're hiring. So, like I said, you know what I'm saying? Check them out. And like I said, they are our latest ad sponsor. So check them out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Big show tonight. We've got NFL talks, Indianapolis Colts, Houston Texans. Colts routed the Texans. We'll be talking that. A little bit of news and notes around the NFL. We won't hit on every NFL game, just some notes to talk about, especially now that we have the NBA start back up, so we won't be able to carry through every single game like we normally have around the college football world. A lot of games this past weekend. Some people showed their true colors. Some people are making some moves. Iowa, I'm looking at you.
You're a fraud. Just stop.
Yeah, Iowa. What was that? Iowa's a what?
You're a fraud. Just stop.
Yeah, Iowa Hawkeyes, you're a fraud, as Double D would say. But we'll talk our picks, our rankings a little bit, as well as we got NBA. John, the Indiana Pacers starting tomorrow night at Charlotte. We'll be talking a little bit about that and the interesting move that they made yesterday in re-signing Malcolm Brogdon. And then also, John, the drama that continues to go around the Philadelphia 76ers with Ben Simmons and his craziness that's been going on. So, a lot to talk about this evening. Let's dive right into the NFL. Indianapolis Colts, John. Colts beat the Texans 31-3, I think it was.
That's what it was.
Hey, started
Brandon,
out a little rough.
Right. They'll come after you. They'll come at the Colts, the blue wagon, will come after you, man, if you don't get the score right. But, yes, it was 31-3.
Yeah, it started out kind of a slow start at first, but the Colts did end up picking it up later on.
Yep.
And Carson Wentz with the long ball. Gosh darn it. Paris Campbell to the IR, end of the season with a significant injury on that big 58-some-yard touchdown run, catch and run that he had. So that guy can never stay healthy, it seems like. Colts got the big win. They elevated Bagley as their kicker. They actually also activated and elevated Sam Ellinger. Ellinger now is on the active roster. He's back from his injury. They cut Jacob Eason, but I'm hearing he could come back to the practice squad is what I'm hearing,
wow,
which is crazy to see.
Wow.
But Eason has been cut. John, thoughts on the Colts beating the Texans and kind of where we're looking at now off of the heartbreak that just recently raised?
I missed that last part, Brandon. But like talking about the game against, if they had lost the game against the Texans, it'd probably been unfortunately probably been a small riot. Nonviolent, of course, small ride downtown, man, because that was a home game. You know what I'm saying? The roof was open, the feel goods was all out, man, and it was kind of like, you know, who wants to be 1-5? Look, type of look in the mirror. So the Colts have put a lot of money, time, concern, all those things, and into trying to get better, you know what I'm saying, week over week after, you know what I'm saying, basically kind of not, and it's not even basically, basically like a majority of the Colts didn't go to OTAs this past summer or spring, and, you know what I'm saying, we know we missed a lot of practice time with the offensive line and Carson Wentz, but, like, no, great team win. For my optics, you know what I'm saying, for my vision, great team win, need to be, it was a must win, you know what I'm saying, must win. So you look at some of the stats and the star players coming out from that particular game, you have to pat, you know what I'm saying, Jonathan Taylor on the back as well, as you're going to pat Carson Wentz on the back as well. I mean, if you're going to pat, you know, we obviously give a whole lot of credit to Carson Wentz, you know what I'm saying, for you know what I'm saying, kind of getting up speed, right? But Jonathan Taylor has also been right there. He had two touchdowns that game, and I think one reception for a touchdown. I better get it right, otherwise they'll come after me, like I said. The Coach Blue had to come after me. But, like, nah, man. And then on the defensive side of the ball, like, you know what I'm saying, you look at Darius Leonard, what he did with the interception, or causing, you know what I'm saying, having with a fumble and not giving Mills that time comfortable. I mean, Mills has shown flashes. If anybody kind of call, anybody follows the Texans, Mills has shown flashes of being a competent quarterback in this league. If anybody caught, especially the last week game against New England, even though they lost. They didn't, you know, the Colts didn't let up. The Colts did not let, you know what I'm saying, them get any type of, even though it was close in the first half, they didn't let the Texans get any type of saying, like, hey, man, we can get in this game at any point. So, you know, a lot of playmakers on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensively, made plays. The Colts got an emotional lift from T.Y. Hilton, him being activated. Well, he was more than just a decoy. He hit 4 catches and 80 yards. I wouldn't necessarily call that a decoy by any realm of the imagination. So, great win. And also, how could I forget, man? I know I've been critical of me personally has been critical of Carson Wentz and his connectivity with the tight ends, and he got some great connectivity, right? That word, if that even a word, connectivity with Mo Alley Cox, and to you know what I'm saying, there's more you can kind of see a build up there. So it's great, you know what I'm saying. You picked on a team that, you know what I'm saying, quite frankly, that there's kind of talent lacking. But it, you know what I'm saying, hell, anybody on any given Sunday, anybody can lose. So, you know what I'm saying, they put their foot to the pedal, put the knives on the throats, and then in the second half, they didn't make it close.
Yeah. Looking ahead, Colts next game, Sunday Night Football at San Francisco, take on the 49ers. Not going to lie, I think it's going to be a tough one for the Colts to win going out to San Francisco. If they can't protect Wentz, I think Bosa is going to have himself another great game if they can't protect him, because the pass rush lately for the Ravens and for the Texans obviously wasn't all there. We'll see if the offensive line can hold up another week. Ellinger, you're brought up. Get ready. You may have to come in for a play or two if Bosa gets in that backfield too much.
I don't know. The Colts have definitely found their run game. You know what I'm saying? The offensive line, rather. I want to put that, you know what I'm saying? I know there's still some question marks around them, protecting quarterback. Don't think Carson's not necessarily – still taking some hits. The sack rate has kind of come down, right? The multiple sacks have kind of come down per game, but he's still taking hits, you know what I'm saying? But, like, they're run blocking. My goodness, you know what I'm saying? It looks like something out of 1986 playbook. NFL playbook where the running back was the feature back. So I am comfortable, and you know what I'm saying, in our depth at that, you know what I'm saying, as a Colts fan, I am comfortable with their depth at that particular, you know what I'm saying, position, and their ability to get, you know what I'm saying, offense and yardage and productivity at that position. What will hurt is Paris Campbell going down, you know, because as much as I prided the connectivity that Carson Wentz was building with, that he continued building with Mo Alley Cox. I think that's the same thing could be said with Paris Campbell. But again, fortunately, you know what I'm saying, he's out. Defensively, you know, think about this, Brandon. I will say this. It's still a winnable game, even though it's on the road. You're dealing with a hostile crowd environment and all those things. I get it that the defense of the San Francisco 49ers is probably just as equal to, or, you know what I'm saying, it's probably, I would say it's equal to, I don't necessarily have the stats in front of me right now. It's probably equal to the Colts, right, statistically. But who's playing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers? Is it the rookie or is it Garoppolo?
Trey Lance.
Yeah, so Trey Lance, yes, he's dynamic. Yes, he's, you know what I'm saying, all these things, future, you know what I'm saying, of the league, whatnot. And, you know what I mean, he's shown some sprites, some flashes, but he hasn't been able to – can he put it all together? Can you make him look like a rookie? And, I, you know what I'm saying, especially after, you know what I'm saying, dealing with, you know what I'm saying, making, you know what I'm saying, Colts are great at making lesser quarterbacks look lesser. So I kind of edge him in that regard, but you bring up a great point. Can they keep Carson Wentz clean? Can they keep him upright? He's already shown that, even to John Burson's criticism, that he's not a turnover machine like he was last two seasons in Philadelphia. He's only got one pick so far for the whole year, which is great. It is, comparatively, when we get into later on some of the MVP conversation, when we talk about where Dak and some of the Lamar are at as far as touchdowns to interceptions is concerned. But again, Carson, you know what I'm saying, it's not a turnover machine. So, but you know what I'm saying, the key to the Colts winning this particular weekend going into playing San Francisco is, can they keep him upright? Can they keep him throwing and making throws? And can they continue to make big plays offensively to keep, you know what I'm saying, San Francisco's, you know what I'm saying, defense tired?
Yep. Okay. Let's see. Breaking news out of the association, as if we haven't had enough news already leading up to the 75th anniversary NBA season. Quote on Twitter off Excel Sports Agency, Sacramento has informed Marvin Bagley he is not in the opening night rotation, which is completely baffling. It's clear they have no plans for him in the future, and yet they've passed on potential deals at last year's deadline and this summer, based on, quote, value. Instead, they chose to bring him back but not play him, a move completely contradictory of their, quote, value argument. This is a case study in mismanagement by the Kings organization. Jeff Schwartz.
Is that a shocker?
It's the fact that this was a top five pick, I believe, wasn't it? Only a top five pick in the league a couple years ago from Duke.
I'm just saying what you want to do with said talent once you know he doesn't necessarily fit into what you want to do moving forward. Can Marcus Bagley score in this league? Yes. Can he put up stats, rebound stats, and stuff like defensively? It's not necessarily there just yet. When you think about blocking shots or you think about getting after it from a steal standpoint, but that's kind of, I mean, you know what I'm saying, for somebody who, you know what I'm saying, you don't want to be in the doldrums forever if you're Sacramento, right? So you have to know, you know what I'm saying, you have to know your personnel. And if people were calling, were calling about his services, and, you know what I'm saying, you knew he wasn't in the immediate future, then why didn't you make a deal? You know what I'm saying? Even if you have to eat, a quote-unquote poo-poo sandwich in return, you know what I'm saying?
Former number two.
If we remember, though, remember his dad tweeting about let's get him out of Sacramento?
Yeah.
A couple years ago, you know what I'm saying? So it seems like, you know what I'm saying, both parties are kind of displeased with one another. So again, you know what I'm saying, there was plenty of time between that particular tweet, the last season, the bubble, and all those things, and everything in between to move that contract. And that just kind of just bows, like, what the hell is going on? It just kind of speaks to, like, what the hell is going on with Sacramento and what's been going on with Sacramento for some time now.
Yeah. Sacramento Queens are at it again. So hashtag Kings stay Kings. Back to the NFL, John. Pittsburgh Steelers, Seattle Seahawks. No Russell Wilson. Geno Smith inserted. Steelers started out with a 14-0 lead. And then Seattle decided to run the ball to start the second half. And, my God, the Steelers defense could not stop the run. Alex Collins was just a one-man show. But the sacks on Geno, the forced fumbles, T.J. Watt earning his money. Steelers win in overtime. That was a wild game to watch. especially me as a Steeler fan, watching this one, not knowing what the hell to get out of it. I mean, I thought Big Ben had played a great game overall. I thought his passing was, he was pretty consistent passing-wise for the game. But I thought he played well, and they ended up getting the win, which was a much-needed win there at home against Seattle. That's the ones you got to have to win. But, man, T.J. Watt, one-man wrecking show.
Oh, man, it was a nail-biter for sure. I kind of told you a couple weeks ago that Mike Tomlin and company, they know how to adjust. They know how to adjust. A lot of, you know what I'm saying, again, you know how they know how to adjust to what they have. Don't worry about Don't worry about say what now?
Wasn't that a wild end of the game with them trying to throw the Cleaver's play is under review when you're sitting there trying to, as the clock's winding down? Tomlin was not happy in the post game. I've never seen him that animated before.
No, he was not. He blasted it, like, you know what I'm saying, how it ended. But again, man, so, like, I look at it, I thought it was all kind of gloom and doom for Seattle. I thought it was going to be the Steelers just kind of running them over, rather. Geno, to my chagrin, Geno Smith still has a little bit of game left. He still can pass it just a little bit, you know what I mean? Still can command the offense. When I look at what the keys to the Steelers winning was, like what you said, Big Ben, 29 out of 40 and a touchdown. Hell, Brandon, I know you don't want to hear it. There was an Eric Ebron sighting, right, on a rushing touchdown.
There was. I know.
A rushing touchdown. So, and then, like I said, players making, you know what I'm saying, I think somebody out of their locker room, the wideout, Mary said, they have players making, they're able to make plays on both sides of the ball.
Johnson, huge game, stepping up and with Juju gone.
Yeah, and then, like you said, J.J. Watt forces the fumble. And
T.J.
T.J. Watt forces a fumble, and there you go, and you kick the field goal, and you win the game. So again, the Steelers, I know King of Trolls will probably call in later night if he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? I know he'll listen to it. You can never count them out. You can't.
Yeah. I think we go into a bye week. Steelers go into a bye week this week, which is good because they're going to start getting some of these guys back. Some of these offensive linemen that have been out bye week this week, and then they play a beat up and hurt Browns team in 2 weeks. So Browns play Thursday night against Denver, so a short week for them, and they're already without both their top running backs and a couple defensive guys. So getting the Browns at the right time for that. So we'll see. John, probably the game I like the most to watch. Cowboys-Patriots. How about them Cowboys, John? How about them? They got the offense. My God, Diggs with another interception. The guy is unbelievable right now. But Dak looked good, even though he somehow got hurt on the last play. So they're on a bye week now. CD, Lamb, Zeke, the offense and defense is clicking for the Cowboys in New England.
Yep.
Back and forth, exciting final 5 minutes. I texted you. I'm like, oh, my God, this game is nuts. awesome to see.
Yeah, I think we had like 3 or 4 games this weekend with off the games with Dallas and New England and with Seattle and Steelers and even last night with Tennessee and Buffalo. A lot of nail, you know what I'm saying? Those are nail bars, something that you don't necessarily get. You know, you might get one. You don't there's no way you get three. So, back to the Cowboys. Dak Prescott, man, you know what I'm saying, leading. He's the leader of the team, right? He gets all the due praise. He's got like 16. He's running like 16 touchdowns this year already. Took like 4 interceptions. Anybody would take that, right? Got 2 games over 400 plus yards, something like that, right? The only game that they lost, again, nobody. You don't get a pat on the back because you lost to Tom Brady and the Bucks, the world champs. But that's the only game they lost. You know what I'm saying? They haven't played, you know, saying chump competition. They beat the Chargers, and I do believe they beat the Chargers in Los Angeles. You know what I'm saying? They beat the Panthers on the road as well. So they've been, and I get it that they play in the NFC least, but you know what I'm saying? You have to play who's in front of you, right? Like I said, Dak has elevated his game, but he's got some help. I can't say that he doesn't have any help, but as the leader of the team, you know what I'm saying? He's kind of the face of success there. So when I mean by help, yes, Trayvon Diggs, Brandon, the team only has 11 interceptions total, which is pretty darn good. I think that's actually leads the NFL in interceptions and takeaways, right? But guess like Trayvon Diggs had like 7 of the 11 on the team.
Right.
So again, you know what I'm saying? I know I was listening to Keyshawn in the morning, and usually I kind of agree with Keyshawn as a former player. You know what I'm saying? He's a locker room guy. He kind of knows, kind of speaks the truth, doesn't kind of sugarcoat anything. And the subject kind of came up is Trayvon Diggs an MVP candidate? Well, I don't necessarily think he'll win it because we all know this is a quarterbacks-driven MVP kind of league, right? You know what I'm saying? But I'd be damned, Brandon, if he shouldn't be mentioned. If he continues on this upward stride of being an interception machine, you know what I'm saying? He definitely should be considered. He probably definitely would be a defensive player of the year if he keeps this going and doesn't get hurt or anything like that. But, like, nah, man, Dallas Cowboys are looking real good. I can't – I'm not going to co-sign anything that playmaker, you know what I'm saying, Michael Irvin might say them. You know what I'm saying, 6 games in, he's got them playing in the Super Bowl already. There might be a team in Green Bay that might have some say in that. There might be definitely a team down in Tampa Bay and Florida that's going to have something to say about that. But I think they're right there with both those squads.
Yeah. John, if I'm sitting there, I kind of today decided to rank my top 5, maybe top 6 NFL rankings right now, teams wise. Number 6, I have the Packers. I think your Green Bay is just silently right now after that first game where everybody thought the wheels were falling off and Aaron Rodgers didn't give a shit. They've silently, quietly just went around the season right now. Aaron Rodgers is the daddy of the Chicago Bears. Sorry, Bears fans. He owns you. So you
Brandon,
see that.
Who got
I got
more heat? Brandon, before you go with your list, man, who got more heat, man? Bartman in Chicago or Aaron Rodgers? I was kind of thinking about
Rodgers.
That today, man.
Aaron Rodgers, the Bartman thing's over. Bartman's over. There was an apology after they won the World Series. All that, so it's been put to bed. It's definitely Aaron Rodgers, no matter what.
Okay.
But I got Packers at 6. Packers at number 6.
Wow.
I've got the Arizona Cardinals at number 5, John. I just don't see it as – I can't see it consistently going to happen where they're up here playing so well. Obviously, they're undefeated, and they've won their games they have. I just don't see it continuing to happen. I don't think they can keep that level, that high level they have currently right now. So I've got Arizona at number 5. Number 4, I have the Dallas Cowboys. We just talked about them. I think they're a great team offensively, defensively. Maybe some piss-poor play calling sometimes by Mike McCarthy, which that might end up costing you in the end when it comes to playoff time. But overall, you can't discredit Dallas Cowboys. I know that we've had them as a laughing stock before previously. But they're looking really good right now, so I got them at number 4. My number 3 team, and they lost last night, but they're still a great team offensively, defensively, the Buffalo Bills. I got them at number 3. 4th and 1 last night. Hey, that's not the type of league this is going into now, where it's 4th and 1, you don't just settle for a field goal. You already set yourself up for a good position right now. You're 4-1, right? So if you get it, there's a good chance you go 5-1. If you don't, bam, you go 4-2. But you're still set in the driver's seat for the AFC East and even the AFC playoffs right now. So I don't have I didn't have a problem with McDermott and them going for that 4th and 1 last night. Except the fact that I had Tennessee +6, so which was great for me. Then not going to overtime there. So I got the Bills at number 3. Number 2, John, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know it's crazy. I have them at number 2, defending world champs right now. Tom Brady and then this defense, though, is injured. Lavonte David is hurt. Antoine Winfield Jr. is hurt. They've got to sew up their injuries. If they can continue to sew up their injuries, play well, obviously they're going to be one of the top teams. That's why I have them at number 2 spot. The team I have ahead of them, yes, the Bucs beat them. Already this season, but I think overall right now, if you look at the offense, you look at the defense, and even the special teams, you can't discredit. I've got the LA Rams. The Rams is the number 1 team right now, ranking-wise. Coaching as well. I like the way the Rams look offensively, defensively, special teams-wise, healthness-wise, how healthy they are. So I've got Packers at 6, Cardinals at 5, Cowboys at 4, Bills at 3, Buccaneers at 2, and then the Rams. LA Rams is my number 1 ranked team now in the NFL.
At some point, man, if you want to debate it right now, I would have to flip who you have Arizona at 4 and probably put them probably at 1. They are 4th in sacks. They got like 17 sacks right now total. They're first, I do believe, in fumble recoveries. And, like, you know what I'm saying, they're kind of middle of the road when it comes to interceptions. You know what I'm saying? I get what you're kind of saying. They are, like, probably, like, an injury away, a major injury away from, you know what I'm saying, if on their defensive side, because that's where that's what they do. It's kind of a simple formula. Just get the kids the ball, and they kind of they play very fast on offense. You know what I'm saying? But they're kind of one, you know what I'm saying, they're kind of one J.J. Watt bad week.
You really believe in them? Do you believe that this is sustainable? Be honest.
Kyler Murray's not. He's not. He's right up there in MVP. You know what I'm saying? Conversation.
That's not the question I asked. Do you believe that this is sustainable?
Well, yeah. I would say yes because, man, all three
of them. Just stop.
Well, hey, they beat the Rams.
Three foolish men hiding behind a fake name forever. Just stop. You're a fraud. Brandon. Just stop,
Brandon. You can play that as many times as you like, but they beat the Rams. Now, they have to play them again, but I gave you a little bit of credence, like I said. You know what I'm saying? J.J. Watt, you know what I'm saying? They're one bad injury, but they have a significant pass rush, and they're decent, you know what I'm saying, in their secondary. So, unless Kyler Murray, you know what I'm saying, bows out a knee or something, I think they're there right there at the end. Now, win it all, if you ask me to win their division, sure. Win it all. They haven't made that jump just yet.
I don't even think they've made the leap to win a divisional game.
Okay.
In the playoffs.
I don't think they'll lose a game till after they go 9-0. How about that? They won't lose a game. They'll be 9-0.
You're a fraud. Just stop.
All right. You can stand for it. That's fine. You can die on that hill because I guarantee there's not – I guarantee other people, Dekai, you're on the Facebook Live right now. Comment on the Facebook Live feed. Do you believe that the Arizona Cardinals are sustainable with what they're doing right now? Anybody else wants to comment on the Facebook Live feed? Go ahead and type away. Are the Cardinals sustainable to do what they're doing now the rest of the way? I say no. At some point, they're going to come back and be the Cardinals. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to just completely fall off the wagon and just, you know, go into obscurity. Yeah, they're going to have a good season. But that division, that might be the toughest division in the NFL right now. looking at it, so just no. Dekai says no running game. You know Chase Edmonds is your running back right now. James Conner here, so we all know JJ is going to get hurt at some point there, and we saw them give up that Hail Mary recently. That defense is exposable. Kyler, if he keeps running, John, I think of all the quarterbacks out there right now with Kyler's size and stuff, it's just going to take one big hit, and maybe, you know, maybe we're looking at a different thing. So,
well, see, now you wishing bad on him. And
I'm not wishing bad. I'm just giving you a realistic option that could happen.
Realistic option. Guess who they play next Sunday? The Texans. That's a win. Guess who they play after that? The Packers at home. That's 50-50. I give you that one. Guess who they play after that? The 49ers on the road. They are. I do believe they are.
That's
beat the 49ers this year. Ah, you're crazy. All right, man. Next topic.
I like our comments. Here we go. Give me a second here. Kansas City Chiefs, John. Chiefs Chiefs and the Washington football team. I thought it would be a lot better game than what it was, but Patty Mahomes, they pull away in the second half. Not ready to write them off just yet. And it's crazy, John. I gave you my top six teams, didn't I? And I didn't even mention the Kansas City Chiefs. That defense is just – it's still not there. Swiss cheese, as we talked last week. But Mahomes got it done. A lot of people are writing off Patty Mahomes for MVP still. I looked at the sportsbook odds for him, and, my God, you can get great value right now if you still want to put something on it. I don't think he's going to win it, but if you want to put something on it for a chance – my God, he's got great value.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that don't do a whole lot of box score digging like you and I do. And, like, a lot of people, man, if you take a temperature of the room, man, they'll tell everybody, say, well, in Lamar Jackson in MVP consideration. Like, listen, man, I like Lamar. He had a great game. He had a historical game against the Colts. My goodness, man, this dude got 9 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. That's not MVP. okay? And I'm critical of Lamar because I want him to get back to that MVP caliber. And I get it, they keep on winning, but damn it. Outside of this last week's game against the Chargers, man, oh, that was a blowout. But I, you know what I'm saying, he's played a little bit up and down, and they've been real lucky. If anybody remembers the Detroit Lions game, right? And anybody remembers the Colts, you know what I'm saying, kind of tuckering out, right? Mm-hmm. So again, that would have put them at three losses. If luck wasn't necessarily on their side. So who you got? So wait a minute, who you got for MVP? You said Patty Mahomes? I don't know, man.
No. He's not my MVP. I'm saying that if you want to put something on him, he's got great value right now. And he could,
well, I'm saying like mid, you know what I'm saying, mid season. Who you say with it? I would say Aaron Rodgers, based on the statistics. Even though he had that stinker of a game, the first game against, you know what I'm saying, New Orleans, I would say Aaron Rodgers is probably going to end up with this. If things continue to in their favor, you know what I'm saying, they'll win it again. He'll win it again. But that's on the stats.
Maybe Josh Allen, maybe?
He needed
I would almost even – I'd almost put something in there for Derrick Henry, too, to be honest.
Yeah, that was – yeah, but Brandon, they lost the Jets. So you know what I'm saying, for everything that you have to remember, like, hey, man, they lost the Jets, they lost, you know what I mean? So bad loss to a team that probably should be sitting like the Detroit Lions, should be sitting on 0-1, whatever.
Let me give you the stats right now. Actually, here's your top six MVP candidates currently. Patty Mahomes is actually number 9, and Derrick Henry's number 10 right now on the sports books. Number one and number two, they're actually tied with the same odds as Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott right now are your MVP favorites. And then Josh Allen at 3, and then Tom Brady at 4, Aaron Rodgers at 5, with Lamar Jackson both and Matthew Stafford. Those three are all tied at 5.
Okay.
So can you hear me now, John, in there, hopefully?
I got you. They said on the crossroads they can't hear us.
Okay, give me a second here. Let me see if I can refresh. It might be because I got a phone call in the middle of the show. That might have been. Oh, let's see what we got here. All right, I think we're back now. So, but anyways, that's what it looks like with your MVP futures with that. So, Bills Titans game yesterday, another great game between those two, high scoring as it started picking up in the second quarter and on. As I told you earlier, I had no problem. 5 loud and clear. Sweet, thanks, Mark. I had no problem with him going on fourth down. You're already sitting at 4-1 for the season. What's the worst case? You go 4-2, or you're 5-1. That's what this type of league is now. It's going for it. Hell, I saw teams going for it on their own 30-yard line. Or 25-yard line this past weekend. So 4th-and-1, chance to win the game. I have no problem with them doing it. I don't like the play call at all, but 4th-and-1, them going for it for a chance to win the ball game, no problem for me.
It just depends. You have to know the temperature. You have to know the temperature of the game and feel for the game, man. Going 4th-and-1 drives me crazy in the first and second quarter. It just does, you know what I'm saying, especially if you're up. On the road, you know what I'm saying, trying to go for it all, I really had no problem with it. You know what I'm saying? That's you know what I'm saying? You're not necessarily – nobody's playing for tie anyway. You know what I mean? Everybody kind of plays to win. So, but I thought it was a good temperature call. I had no problem with it. You know what I'm saying? They just didn't convert.
Okay. All right. DK Metcalf and your boy Shannon Sharp are going at it. Shannon told him he's trying to be too flashy. And what the hell are you doing,
man?
Yeah,
I didn't hear it. I didn't even hear it, man. Give me the rundown of it. I missed that part.
Shannon, he didn't do it on his radio show. He did it on Twitter, or on the TV show. He did it on Twitter. Trying to say DK Metcalf was too damn flashy. What the hell are you doing, man? Give me a second here. I'll bring up the actual context of it.
Okay.
1 second here. This is great, great radio. Shannon Sharp says, what was DK thinking? Why try to play hero in that situation? And then DK Metcalf came back and said, stop questioning me, little boy. And Shannon says, Shannon says, nothing to question. That was dumbass play, and your pride won't let you admit it. You can't question anything I've done. Pray your resume will be as complete as mine. Pray. Enjoy the rest of your day. And then DK comes back and says, from the looks of it, I can wipe my ass with yours. Continue to gosh up and washed up wannabe.
Oh, wow. That's just a bunch of smack talk, man. Critical. That's critical talk from Shannon Sharp, right? It's the truth, too. You know what I mean? But sometimes guys, for whatever reason, can't handle it. If I was a player, I would just ignore it. You know what I mean? And keep it moving and to keep on going back and forth with a now former player who's decorated, by the way. So you can't say he's a liar. You can't say, I mean, who knows how to win. So think about Shannon Sharp, right? He knows how to win and be flashy at the same time. He went, I do believe he's two-time Super Bowl champion, if not three times, two times with Denver and one time with the Ravens. I know you don't like to hear that, but it is what it is. So rather than go back and forth with whoever, Skip, him, or you know what I'm saying, our nemesis on ESPN, like, just shut up and ball. Shut up and play. But there's probably some truth in what, you know what I'm saying, in what Shannon Sharp said. And it sounded like it struck a nerve.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Just those two go back and forth. But, you know, hey, to me, looking at this, that kind of sounds like DK's a little soft on it. You know, a little sour grapes is what it sounds like to me. So, hate to say. Speaking of soft, because the guy I'm about to bring on right now, JB, I thought we were going to have to put out a search party for him because he was so silent when Alabama got that ass whipped by Texas A&M. But Decott, he is alive and he is well.
Fellas, come on now. Now, you know doggone well I was at the Pacer game. But, hey, I did want to talk about that, but since you were all on the NFL, I wanted to hit that real quick. The reason why DK, these guys respond, is because everybody got the proverbial chip on their shoulder. Him being a late pick, he still has his chip and he walks around. That's why the green hair. That's why all the stuff, man. This guy is saying, listen, you all doubted me and look at me now. And one of the things that Shannon said was accurate. He didn't have to do that. And the thing that DK could have said was, hey, you're right, Chief. You got a point. I'll be better. And just move on. But instead,
right,
he wants to, you know, try to disparage Shannon Sharp, who's an accomplished All-Pro tight end Hall of Famer. Come on, man, you got to stay in your lane. Is he a great player now? Yes, but he's got a long way to go before he touches Shannon Sharp's resume. Let's just call it like it is,
long
right?
Way. Long way.
Think DK was in the wrong on that, and you know, and everyone has an opinion, and it's okay to just ignore the, you know, what people say sometimes. You don't have to respond to everybody's comments. That's my take on that, you know, for sure. And I definitely don't think Arizona can hold the line. I think your guy, the defensive tackle is going to get hurt. Sooner or later he'll get hurt because that's what he does. But I think they'll fall back to the pack a little bit. But I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with a 12-5 or 11-6 season for Arizona Cardinals. I see nothing wrong with that. So that's my two cents on that. But if you guys remember, we talked about this Alabama deal, and I told you all. I said, hey, we're looking at least two losses. I told you guys.
I don't know about two. Well,
I absolutely did.
I know you did say. I give you kudos on that one. You did say I didn't believe in. I called my guy a snake oil salesman, Jimbo.
Well, No, man, I tell you, you know, I was in some other chats, and I said, this is my words, I said, this is the worst Alabama team front to back in the last 10 years. And I was black. Oh, what are you saying to say there? No, I'm comparing them to themselves, not to these other teams, to themselves. And here's why. You got an inaccurate quarterback. You've got an offensive line that's a little shaky. You got young receivers who have big drops and big situations. And the defense, they don't have the dogs up front. We talked about that. The big hands guys, they got a nice linebacking core and a good secondary, but they're not strong up front. It's just a fact, man.
But Decott, you saying that they won't lose a game until they get another game until they get to the SEC championship?
Well, I'm with you, but I'm gonna tell you, Georgia has the Alabama team, and I remember I talked to you all about A'shaun,
they do, right,
Robinson, and those guys. That's the team that Georgia has now.
Yeah,
that's
they do.
The team, and I'm just, you know, and listen, I want my boys to win it all, absolutely. But I'm a realist, man. I'm not a rose-colored glasses guy like Reggie, who thinks the Colts are gonna go undefeated the rest of the season. This fool is he's celebrating a Texas. Well, y'all saw that. He's celebrating like the Colts beat the Texans, like this is the Texans of I don't know of 10 years ago or whatever. This is a junior
right.
high team. But you just got to be realistic about your teams. I'm telling you, I want Bama to win, but there's no way the way they're playing now, they can be within 10 points of Georgia. And
John,
this, you all know how my fandom. I just don't see it.
John, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
And with you being a IU / Golden Domer / Ball State fan.
Wow. Man.
Yeah, All Indiana, basically. Would you be happy with a quarterback that had 24 touchdowns and 3 interceptions? Would you be happy with a quarterback that threw 69% completion percentage?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, trick question, Jonathan. Be careful. Trick question, man. Hey, I see it coming a mile away. Trick question.
It's not a trick question. You said how many touchdowns to what interception?
24-3. 24-3 ratio, touchdown interception. Basically a 70% completion percentage.
Be careful, JB. Be careful.
You take that.
Hit him with it, Brandon.
Absolutely. So that's Bryce Young's stats this year. I think he's been a good quarterback for Alabama. I think actually, comparatively, I would probably rank him above some of these previous quarterbacks they've had there.
Well, let me break this down for you. It's a good point, Brandon. Numbers tell a story. They don't tell the whole story. And when he needed to make a play over the top on a guy and hit him in stride, he didn't do that. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, between the 20s, we all play well, right? When we're up, 40-7, we play well. I'm not saying Bryce Young's the guy I'm throwing in the trash. This guy's going to be a great player for Alabama. Right now, he is not. He's managing what they have. Okay.
I think he has I think he's got less talent on the wide receiver corps than Alabama's ever had to deal with.
Well, he's got youth on that side. That's why those drops, man. Those guys are ultra talented, but they got youth. Take a look at this, right? And I could see the video. Bryce throwing outside the numbers beyond 25-30 yards is not where he needs to be. That's the challenge. He can hit him over the middle, and that's great. He's going to have to use his legs more in the second half of the season, and he's got to hit that open guy on the sideline outside the numbers. He does that. Now we're talking a different story. But until he does that, man, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. And what I mean by challenge is Georgia challenge. I'm not talking, Tennessee challenge. I'm talking Georgia
Auburn,
challenge. Yeah.
LSU. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And listen, I'm just being, I'm a real fan, but you just got to look at it in a realistic way. And he's going to get better. His area is outside the numbers, and he's got to understand that there's going to be some times you're in college. Take off and run, man. Take off and run. Sometimes your guys aren't going to be covered.
Right. Like I said, Decott, the only thing that realistically kind of gives me a pause for Alabama is it would be like the SEC championship game. If when they play LSU, they're going to get LSU's best shot because it's Ed Orgeron's last time here with LSU.
Right.
That team's gonna go out emotionally for him. But outside
Absolutely.
Of that, even in the Iron Bowl, I got Alabama, winning by, 17-21 points.
And I would agree to all of that point, Jonathan, for sure. The thing is Alabama's gonna always get everybody's big punch and you just don't know where it's gonna come from. Think about this. And I guess I'm knocking my boys. As bad as they played against A&M, all you have to do with 3 minutes to go is drive 50 yards and kick a field goal, and you still win the game. So my point, they're right there. I'm telling you, they're a great team, but I just don't see it happening as I've seen in the years past. But we'll see what happens. I want to make sure I didn't want you guys thinking I don't disappear.
You were ducking.
I don't duck.
Brandon thought you was ducking. I never said that.
Brandon, you know better than that. Brandon knows better.
I know who your friends are.
Just talk.
Exactly
right. Well, here's the other thing. Had an opportunity to take a look at Banker's Life in person last Wednesday, as a matter of fact. telling you guys, you got to get down there. And they're about
the new
Beggars Lock.
It's not even Beggars Lock no more.
Listen, man, I still Beggars call the Brooklyn Nets New Jersey Nets, man. I can't get over certain things.
I do too.
Right?
I do too.
So, but I'm going to tell you, they've probably got about another 30% to do in the concourse and stuff like that. But hey, but it's going to be an amazing, man. It's going to be an amazing place to watch the boys go probably 35 and 47 this year.
Oh man!
Hey, so let's talk about that real quick. I sent Jonathan immediately yesterday when I saw the news. I said, "We're extending Malcolm Brogdon. What in the world?"
Oh man, don't get me started. It has to be, but I would hope it's a precursor to a potential sign and trade, that type of deal. Because
unfortunately, they can't trade him. He's basically untradeable at least the first year of his new contract. Think about the small sample size that Milwaukee had with Malcolm Brogdon and the Pacers had. It's not that he's a bad player, it's that you don't get enough games out of him when you do have his availability. So if all things, I would say the reason why he got it, because it's a new regime. Carlisle believes in him.
He wants to show him that he's committed to him, right?
Yeah, and he wants to show him he's committed to him, but like, dude, you got to play. And I'm not saying, in this day and age, guys got to play 80 out of 82 games. But you can't miss half the season and then not expect the time to come back your way.
Yeah. Well, he said he talked a lot of great things about Carlisle. He says, hey, we have to be leaders as men on the floor, all the right things after the two Nates being gone, right? So I'm going to watch him real closely and see how he responds, not just on the court, but I want to see his body language. When we take him out the game, and he feels like he should have stayed in, I'm gonna be looking for that, man. I want to see what he's doing, who he's sitting next to. It's just so much more.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But I just don't know, man, that was the right decision to make on a guard who's gonna play about 60-65 games a year.
If that, right.
So. But we'll see. I know you guys got some more callers and stuff, but I'm going to be interested to see how this all plays out. And I promise you, I'm not ghosting anybody. If I'm not tied up working or something, I promise you I'm calling.
I'll tell you this. I do appreciate you still each week, you and Reggie both continuing to do the pro football pick'em with me and putting our picks in, because somebody has not done it for the last few weeks, and it's unacceptable for that.
Oh, speaking of
somebody,
who was
that?
You remember that first week I got ran a little bit, but I'm telling you, I'm making up ground. I'm gonna win this thing. I'm making up ground.
You got a little bit of ways to go to catch me.
No worries, you'll be on the injury reserve list soon. No worries.
All right, Decott, take care, my guy.
Hey, love the show, guys. Be safe.
Yeah, John, a little disappointed. You can't spend 3 minutes to put some picks in each week.
Here's the deal, Brandon. Once you miss a certain amount of weeks, they don't allow you to come back. So I'm sorry.
I don't know how you missed to begin with, but, something. Hashtag some things. Let's go college football. Around the college football world, we talked about it. How about, where's my thing at? Where's my sounder? Get that train going, right? That guy train can go two things. Well, I'm going to take it for the Purdue Boilermakers, John. Purdue Boilermakers, almost 3 years to the day the last time they upset a number two team in the country. It was Ohio State, and I was on the field for that game. They beat Iowa. Iowa, I'm going to play it for you one more time, Iowa. What are you?
You're a fraud. Just stop.
Iowa, you are a fraud. We don't have to talk about it anymore, John. Boilermakers, huge win. David Bell. We talk about Aaron Rodgers owning the Bears. David Bell, you own the Iowa Hawkeyes.
He does. Jeff Rahm coaching against the Iowa Hawkeyes is actually 4-1, Brandon. I watched the game in real time. As it was playing, not in the replays, and I couldn't believe this was the same team, Iowa, that was like in a rock fight. A comeback rock fight at that against Penn State. it was like a day and night team. It wasn't the team that ran on the field because even though they were the higher seed, if the higher ranking, you know what I'm saying? They ran on the field like they won a national championship game. The student body and the players did, man. So it looked like they couldn't deal with success. When you go a little bit deeper to the box score, they were missing some key individuals. They're two cornerbacks. One didn't play. The one got hurt last week against Penn State, and the other didn't return in the second half due to a in-game injury. But that's kind of like no excuse for you not to have no offense. Kind of like no excuse to get behind that many points, because when Purdue needed a third down conversion, whether it was third and short or third and long, like O'Connell, who because he played the majority of the game, I know Jack, he got a couple snaps, but O'Connell's actually one to play the majority of the game. They always converted. Purdue spent more time on the field offensively than the offense and the defense combined of Iowa, right?
Right.
It just was a night and day team, man. That Iowa, again, I know they have, like I said, they have two probably all Big Ten cornerbacks that are kind of responsible for their takeaways. You know what I'm saying? Defensively, they're shutting down wideouts and tight ends and what have you. But Purdue just went up there with a plan, and you know what I'm saying? They just kind of New England Patriots. the Iowa Hawkeyes, man. Like you said, David Bell, 11 receptions for 245 yards, two touchdowns. Just took the wins out of the sails of the Iowa Hawkeyes. And from basically a schedule they had to basically just kind of waltz into a national – well, they still had to play the Big Ten championship game, right? Now they're basically on the outside looking in. They would need a tremendous amount of help with Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio just kind of just beating up one another for them to basically kind of jump. I think they're like 11th or 12th right now in the national ranking, not my ranking. In the national ranking, they would need a lot of help to move back up into the top five for sure. Will they lose it? Will they have some letdown against Wisconsin? That's kind of a rival game for them. I don't think so. But, again, it was like a night and day game. And, you know what I'm saying, you can't – other programs that win national championships – they lose players, but then other players are there to kind of fill that role, and it's no step missed. And Iowa just they just came in ill prepared, and Purdue took the wins out of themselves, and there you go. Purdue is now ranked 25th.
Yeah, Boilermakers ranked number 25 in the country. Damn, I'm looking at this championship ring for the Milwaukee Bucks, and that is cool. Wow, damn, interesting there. Other ones, John, LSU says no to Dabo, Dabo says no to LSU as a potential landing spot, not interested. Mm-hmm. Jimbo says he's going to finish out his contract. He's happy where he's at, which I said Jimbo to LSU a couple weeks ago. It would be something to watch. But Coach O and them get it done over Florida. And I sent you the thing. I said, hey, I think I'm the only one that took LSU in that game with our pick'em, with me, you, and and Tanner that night. And so Coach O and them get it done on this right now in the sunset.
It just seemed thought that LSU was going to lay down. They have the talent. They just don't necessarily have the buy-in, or you know what I'm saying. I guess the kids heard the rumblings preseason, and I guess there was kind of some, you know what I'm saying, some wind to that, wind in the sails to that. It seems like the AD is unhappy with Ed Orgeron. Like, they want to be, if you win a national championship in the SEC, the goal is to not necessarily have that much of fall off, right? You know what I'm saying? So you win a national championship one year. Yeah, you lost Joe Burrow. Yes, you might have lost, say, a wideout, another wideout in this year's draft, right? But you still should be able to replenish what, you know, they feel like you should be able to replenish and not lose recruits to whomever, Texas, Alabama, whoever, Florida, whoever. They should want to come to LSU for what, you know what I'm saying, what you've done. And that's not necessarily how things kind of panned out for Ed Orgeron and LSU. You still would think that you know what I'm saying, that the AD would still have, like, dude, man, like, Brandon, that's crazy. 2 years, 2.5 years removed from a national championship. And
yeah.
They haven't been top four or even necessarily top five, to be honest with you, you know, but they're always seemingly in the hunt, beating somebody. And gosh darn it, Brandon, they always go to a meaningful bowl game, which we all know, me and you know, you know what I'm saying, some of these pizza bowls, Domino's bowl or whatever bowls, you know what I'm saying, they might not have national championship implications, but they come with a super fat check that they write for the coach and the athletic department and the school and everybody in between. So unless you got something you know, and it doesn't sound like they know, Brandon, okay, because they send out feelers to this guy and that guy, and this guy and that guy have turned it down. So it doesn't necessarily think that they know, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, will they send out a leaflet or you know what I'm saying, to our guy down in Tallahassee, and if he once he goes 2-15 with Jacksonville, possibly. But again, do you want that drama that kind of comes with Urban Meyer that much, that, you know what I'm saying, you're pushing Ed Orgeron out the door? Don't you, wouldn't you really kind of want a young guy, you know what I'm saying? But who's the young guy out there that they can potentially either, A, come in right now tomorrow or next year and start competing with the Alabamas and the Floridas and the Georgias of the world? I don't necessarily know if they have that. I don't necessarily think they have a solid plan.
Right.
So there they go. This is what – they got to make their bed, and now they got to sleep in it.
Yep. Looking at our top 10 rankings now, they're on the Facebook Live. John, we both have Georgia as our number one teams. Number two, oh my, Cincinnati, even though I do not believe in them at the number two position. We both have Cincinnati. Number three, I have Alabama. You have Oklahoma. So our Alabama and Oklahoma is switched. We both have Ohio State at five. I have Michigan at six. You've got them at eight. Oregon, you have at six. I have them at seven. I have the Pokes, Oklahoma State, big win at Texas this past weekend. I got Oklahoma State at number eight. You have them at nine. I brought Michigan State in to the rankings. I brought them in. They had another nice win over Indiana. I like the Spartans there at number nine. I kept Notre Dame at number 10. You actually moved Iowa. I moved Iowa out of my top 10. You put them at number 10. So for Sparty fans up in East Lansing, Jonathan hates Michigan State Spartans, apparently.
Don't start, man. I haven't sparked nothing with the Spartans fans. I bet with my heart picking against them versus IU, and if it wasn't for the Jack Tuttle pick six, IU probably would have beat Michigan State. But I know we'll talk about that here in the next segment. You have to kind of believe. I get that you don't necessarily believe in Cincinnati. They just beat the teams that's in front of them. I couldn't necessarily put Notre Dame. I still do like Notre Dame, South Bend. So don't anybody from South Bend write me no hate mail, right? I just, on a neutral field, all things being even, Iowa has kind of played a tougher schedule than Notre Dame. Okay, I get it. In the last segment, I just kind of crapped on them and said, you know what I'm saying, this guy was out and that guy was out, and they didn't play, you know what I'm saying, up to their standard. But this is also the same team that held Indiana to 3 points a game one. This is also the same team that, like I said, came back in a rock fight against Penn State. Again, I think they played a little bit better of a schedule than Notre Dame. Outside of Notre Dame, and I'm not here to crap on Notre Dame's schedule either. Notre Dame played Cincinnati. Notre Dame has played Florida State in a tough game, right? Even though Florida State ain't Florida State of old, but it still was a tough game. So again, if I had to pick another team, and maybe that's what we'll do going further. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, going further just for shits and giggles, do a total top 20. You know what I'm saying? But I would be. I could not do Texas, you know what I'm saying, can you play the fraud? Quote from Coach Dockage. Texas can't keep
your
a
fraud.
Lead
just stop.
Texas is very they're a high caliber offensive team. They you know what I'm saying, Sarkisian has them playing the right way. They just can't play for 60 minutes. They play for 55 minutes, and in the fourth quarter they got nothing. So I don't know if it's a case of conditioning. I don't know if it's a case of, well, this game is a wrap, and we, you know what I'm saying, we have enough lead that we can just, you know what I'm saying, let the other team just kind of eat at it and beat us. But, they, I mean, in most of these games outside of the Arkansas game, they've been right there. And in the fourth quarter, it goes to put, goes to, you know what I'm saying, goes to out the door. So, but great game by LSU. OSU, Oklahoma State, is the Big 12. Here's what I'll say, Brandon, without rambling too much. Whomever, there's not going to be two SEC teams in a national championship game. Much to any of these SEC marks out here that would love to see it. There's only going to be one team from the SEC. The Pac-12 is out, right? Arizona State took a bad loss against Utah this past weekend. Oregon, though they do have the win over Ohio, they have a crappy win against, I think, who they played against that this week. They have a crappy win against Stanford this week. I think it's either Stanford or Cal that they played this week. They only won by 7. And again, in a game they should have won by 21, right? But like I said, the Pac-12 has kind of beat up on itself. Cincinnati, as long as they don't lose a game, they're in. And the SEC champion is in. I didn't say it was Georgia. I didn't say it was Alabama. You know what I'm saying? I just say the SEC champion is in. The other two teams are kind of going to be determined between the Big Ten champion and like I said, I don't, you know what I'm saying, as much as, again, South Bend don't get on me. South Bend, you know what I'm saying, they could beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame would need a lot of help to jump up back up to 4. They play USC this weekend. It's going to be a tough game. They play Stanford, I think, in like 2 or 3 weeks, right? The ACC schedule, they don't play a Clemson. They don't play a Wake Forest. So they're not playing another ranked opponent. So they're going to kind of stay stagnant right there. The fourth team is going to be the Big Ten champion. Who that remains, man, that's going to be, now you talk about rock fighting and like offenses versus defensive team, Ohio State, Penn State, in 2 weeks is going to probably determine who the Big Ten champion is going to be, right? And so, like I said, so long as Cincinnati doesn't lose a game, which it doesn't look like they're you know what I'm saying, any realm of imagination is going to lose a game once they get deep into conference play, because they put up, I think, 56 points on Temple this past weekend or this past Friday.
Temple. Remember Temple.
Yeah. Your good buddies at Temple, they're going to win their division, and they're going to represent themselves, have an opportunity to win a national championship.
Yep. Okay. John, this past week I went 4-5, made it a little bit more respectable. Went 4-5 with our picks. Tanner went 5-4. John, you had your real first bad week, 2-7.
That's what I get.
Recently, so
Indiana.
That's
Indiana,
I should have been 5-4 if I didn't take Indiana. I don't know why the hell I followed you with Indiana.
You didn't follow me. If you go back, if you roll the tape, man, you picked the Hoosiers very confidently, man. As I recall,
I know.
It was
you know what?
Game.
When I actually Brandon made up. My bet on Saturday, I took. When I actually made my bet on Saturday, I took Michigan State. So how about that? I watched the line, how it moved.
They couldn't. The Hoosiers didn't have any offense whatsoever. They couldn't get in the red zone. They moved the chains, and then they F up and turn it back over to Michigan State, right?
Yeah.
And as many you give a team enough opportunities that's better than you offensively, guess what? The aggressively offensive team, the more offensive team is going to win. That's kind of what happened in Bloomington this weekend with them and Sparty.
Yep. Pick 'em. For this week, John, we've got 8 games this week. First one, Wisconsin, -3 at number 25, Purdue. I know Purdue looked sexy last week at Iowa. They're in the top 25 now. I think Wisconsin's going to end up winning the Big Ten West, and they're going to be in the Big Ten tournament championship game. So I got Wisconsin covering the -3.
You got Wisconsin beating Purdue? After this, you know what I'm saying, decisive beatdown.
I do.
Of Iowa?
I do.
I got Purdue confidently in a close one, because, again, they're not necessarily blessed with a whole lot of offensive talent. They're going to get cracked. You know what I'm saying? Wisconsin's going to crack them. You know what I'm saying? Try to. Their quarterback play is shoddy. And I would almost want to say, you know what I'm saying, the other S-H-I word. But their quarterback in Wisconsin, but their quarterback play is shoddy. I like Purdue to win this game, though, in a close one.
Okay. Miami, Ohio at Ball State. Ball State -6 at home. Yeah. Give me Ball State. It's inside a touchdown. I'll take it.
Yeah, Ball State has put themselves back into respectability as far as contending for the MAC title. They've got 3 straight wins. Man, Brandon, Miami, Ohio lost to Army.
Chris, no shame in losing to our military.
Well, the military is one thing. The military football players is a totally another, man. But they lost the Army. It won't be necessarily a cakewalk, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad the game is at home. They've had 2 tough ones on the road against Eastern Michigan and against Western Michigan, where they came out victorious, right? And like I said, so they're on a 3-game win streak because they did beat Army going back 3 weeks. I like Ball State to win this one, not necessarily in a cruising fashion, because they almost give up as many points as they like to score. They damn near like Texas. Like, once they think the game is won, everybody kind of stops playing and looks around, and next thing you know, the other team's trying to make a charge to come back. But I think Coach New will have this. I think he's got the team's attention. The rushing, what they had in the weeks going into the season, where their running backs was looking real crappy, and they depended upon too much of the air game, that everything's kind of become equal now. And now the rushing game is a little bit better, and they're getting more than like a less. Well, they was getting less than 80 yards out of their running back core. You know what I'm saying? That's the name. You can't win a football game like that. So again, like I said, I'm going with the Cards this weekend, but in a close one.
Okay. One that the line looks like a rat. It looks like a rat line. Number 8, Oklahoma State at Iowa State. Iowa State is favored by 7 against Oklahoma State. So the number 8 ranked team, Oklahoma State at Iowa State. Iowa State's favored by 7. Something smells like a rat here. I don't know what it is. It's like looking at a piece. It's like seeing a piece of cheese on the mousetrap. And looking over, and you see your buddy is lying there dead, and you're like, damn, how'd he die? But there's some cheese right there on that mousetrap. Maybe I'll go ahead and just take that piece myself, and I'll be fine. Well, guess what? Give me Oklahoma State plus the 7 points. The top 10 team getting 7 points on the road. I'm going to take the rat poison here. Give me Oklahoma State plus 7.
I would have thought we would have seen more out of Bernard, the running back from Iowa State, more talk about him getting to the end zone, more talk about him being a potential Heisman Trophy candidate. Though they started off, Iowa State started off hot, you know what I'm saying, the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, then they took a spill, and they have never recovered. I don't think that's necessarily in years past that this would be a trap game for Oklahoma State. I've seen a little bit something more out of Oklahoma State, especially after that comeback win against Texas. I know it's going to sound like me and Brandon, I know it's wild. Me and Brandon actually agreeing on our picks again, which is rare. But I got to take Oklahoma State. Iowa has not shown that they can consistently hang with a big dog. And like this year, Oklahoma State is a big dog.
It's a rat line so bad, but I'm taking it regardless. It's so, so disgusting. So we'll see. Number 10, Oregon at UCLA. Here's another one. Oregon, number 10 at UCLA. UCLA is a 2.5-point favorite at home. Yes, we know UCLA had some big wins at the beginning of the season. We thought it was a huge win against LSU, but we see really what LSU is. The Ducks are going to be getting plus points in this game at UCLA. Give me Oregon just because the Pac-12 needs it. So give me Oregon plus 2.5.
Man, last time out, Oregon did not look strong. It's not a revenge game because he left on his own terms to go to the NFL. But wouldn't it be, you know what I'm saying, something to who the Oregon, I think the Oregon Ducks are nationally ranked like 7th or 8th, something like that. They take a loss against UCLA, they're back to like 12 or 13, maybe not, it may be even further down the line at 15. I'm going to go the other route. Because they don't, like I said, the last couple of games they haven't looked strong, haven't played well. That Ohio State game is unfortunately in the rear view for them. I'm gonna go with UCLA.
Okay. LSU. We just talked about LSU with Coach O. LSU is going to number 12, Ole Miss, to take on the man himself, Lane Train, the Rebels. You got the train horn going for that Lane Train. It rolled through Tennessee. My God, they still hate him there in Knoxville. But Ole Miss minus 10 at home against LSU. I'll take Ole Miss in this, and if I could take the over, whatever it was, I'd take that. But give me Ole Miss.
Yeah, emotional wins are one thing. That's probably a better way to term. Like Florida came back in a rush, and you know, so LSU didn't want to disappoint their coach. And they just push back. Matt Corral, the quarterback for Ole Miss, is on a Heisman. He's probably gonna win it. To be honest with you, you know what I'm saying, with stats he's putting up. I have not picked Lane Train all year, so guess what, Brandon? I'm gonna pick Ole Miss to beat LSU, even though I want LSU to win. This is just a talent level, and even though they kept up with Florida from points by points. I think Kiffin he's going to coach a little bit differently, and they're going to blow him out.
Can I tell you this? Yeah. Matt Corral might not be playing this weekend.
Oh, no. What's going on?
You didn't see it? He got hurt.
Man, I didn't.
He is questionable game? Right now for Saturday. Questionable.
Okay. Well, did you want to take your? Did you want to change your pick?
If he doesn't play, give me LSU. If he plays, give me Ole Miss. So
I got it with the fact that I think he's going to play. And if he plays, you know what I'm saying, that LSU, I'm sorry, that Ole Miss offense is a totally different type of thing. Totally different, you know what I'm saying? He's putting up crazy stats.
Okay. Tennessee, the Vols are going down to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Alabama's a 25-point favorite in this game. I like the first half at 13.5, I think it was, 13.5 or 12. I also like the game. Alabama, I think, torches Tennessee here, wins by over 25.
Yeah, Tennessee has shown improvement. They're not necessarily the bottom cellar dwellers of the basement of the SEC, even though their record might show a little bit differently. On the field play, they've kind of been in pretty much every game. Just kind of gets like that to tail in the third quarter, the fourth quarter. They, you know what I'm saying, is when talent separates and they don't have enough, you know what I'm saying, to kind of compete with the upper echelon of the SEC. With that being said, they still ain't got enough to compete with the upper echelon of the SEC, and Alabama will probably roll them because defensively they can't do what A&M did to Alabama. Putting pressure on the quarterback, putting pressure on the offensive line. So, again, offensively they can kind of keep up just a little bit. But, you know what I'm saying, once mid-game, we'll see a separation and you'll see Alabama roll.
Okay. USC at number 13, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 7-point favorite. I just saw one of their quarterbacks in their system just went into the transfer portal. So he'll be gone. Spencer Rattler might as well go ahead and put his name in it as well for Oklahoma because he is not the answer. And by the way, Oklahoma is starting to roll with this new – they have a new identity now with that quarterback. So I like my pick now of Oklahoma and Georgia in the national championship. I still like that I made beginning of the season. But in this one here, Notre Dame -7 at home against USC. Trojans aren't the Trojans just yet. They need to get that head coach in there, get that identity. Give me Notre Dame. They win this one by 10.
Man, this is tough. What USC team is going to show up? You know what I mean? As a USC team, they're able to put 40 on you. Depending, you know what I mean? There's also a USC that's able to put 17 on you and look embarrassing. If this game was in California, I would favor the Trojans. What's the spread is what?
That is 7.
That's probably about right, to be honest with you. Give me Notre Dame, though. I don't want nobody in South Man send me no hate mail.
Okay. Last game on the docket, number 5, Ohio State, -20 at Indiana. The Hoosiers, the Buckeyes. It's been a long time since Indiana has beaten Ohio State.
Long time.
You know, Ohio State's sitting at number 5. Hoosiers had a chance last week against Michigan State. You've got to believe that Tom Allen and this Hoosiers team has got to, at some point, they've got to fix that identity, right? They've got to get that marquee win this year. Everybody had them in their hype. You guys had them in your hype about them being this, that they're coming back with a great team this year, preseason ranked number 17, whatnot. This game here, I look at it, John, Ohio State, number 5, -20 at Indiana. They always play Indiana close. When it's at Indiana, the last time, if you remember it, when the Hoosiers came so close, I think this is it. I think this is the year. I took the Hoosiers last week. It bit me. This year, I'm going to take not only for the +20, but I'm going to sprinkle a little money line on the Indiana. Stop it. Ohio State is a romp.
Right. I was getting ready to say, what are you doing? No way, IU. Not with Jack Tuttle. Not with Trent Dilfer. Not with Michael Pitts Jr. Not Trent Dilfer. Trent Green. I'm sorry. Trent Dilfer to play for IU. Trent Green. Not with any quarterback. You know what I'm saying? This alumni of IU, man. Unfortunately, the wheels have kind of fallen off. down in Bloomington as far as even trying to pretend they're going to make a bowl game this year. There might be some more wins. I can't necessarily say that. The winning ain't happening this week against Ohio State. Ohio State is a team that kind of feels that they, let one slip up on them, against Oregon early on in the season. They're hoping they get some help along the way, either with a Cincinnati loss or even an Alabama or Oklahoma loss. They will automatically kind of jump them into the top three, top four conversation. But they can't lose. They can't take a loss themselves. Going into, I don't necessarily think they're looking past IU by any realm of imagination either. Again, next week, the week after that is Penn State. That's the big game right there. I do believe it's at Ohio State this year. So, but with all that being said, they're not going to let Lowly. I'm not saying Lowly because I don't want.
Go ahead and say it. You want to say it? Go ahead and say it.
They're not going to let a limping Indiana team spoil them for trying to get back into the national championship picture. So I take Ohio State, and take Ohio State again because they're going to be the breaks off at IU.
Okay, I like that. Might have to clip that sound bite and save that for the future. We're going to do quick ad reads. We come back. We're going to talk the association, baby, back tonight. So we'll be right back after these ads.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. They ship worldwide, as I said. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or check out their website, MavericksCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know the Crossroads Sports sent you. Thank you to both of those. And, John, we want to thank our Wiseman Logistics. Go ahead with that ad.
Right. Rising Logistics, like I said, our newest ad partner, is now hiring. If anybody looking for a job in the Indiana market, go click on this website link. Shame on me. The website link is in our Facebook live feed. If anybody's watching and looking for a job on the live feed, but if you're looking for a job and you live in the Indiana market, WisemanLogistics.com, apply for a job. They are hiring part-time and full-time. They have great benefits, great benefit package. And, again, like Brandon said about our other, tell them Crossroads Sports sent you.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you, Wiseman Logistics. John, I want to dive right now into what me and you bonded over the most in our time together. Let's talk about it. The 75th anniversary, John.
This is the NBA on NBC.
Nothing like that nostalgia. NBA on NBC theme. You hear him say, tonight, we got the Chicago Bulls and the Seattle Supersonics. NBA's back. 75th anniversary season. We got two games tonight. We got Brooklyn going to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks in the ring ceremony, the banner unveiling, yada, yada, yada. Then we got the late one. We got Lake Show, the new and improved Lake Show, going up against one part of the Splash Brothers, Steph Curry and the Warriors. John, yep. I am so excited. The NBA is back tonight. They're unveiling the top 75 players for the new 75 team. Myself and a buddy from work, we did our top 75, all 75 team, which it's a little different from what they're actually doing once I got to look at it. So what I thought they would be doing was take your NBA top 50 players and then just add 25 more names to it. I think they're going to do that still. It would make the most sense. But what I've seen as of late is they're going to do a whole new top 75 list. which is interesting to me. And they're unveiling it over the next 3 days, 25 today, 25 tomorrow, and 25 on Thursday.
Let the debate begin.
Yeah, exactly. Dominique Wilkins was not on that NBA Top 50, by the way. That was one of the biggest snubs that we went through and talked. But we did our 75 list. So far, they've named the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, first 12 guys they've named so far. And I think they're going to do the other 13 at halftime or between the games. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nate Archibald, Bob Cousy, Kevin Durant, Hal Greer, Elvin Hayes, Dirk Nowitzki, Hakeem Olajuwon, Bob Pettit, Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, and here's a head scratcher how it was named already, James Harden. James Harden James Harden is on the list.
Oh my God!
Top 75 all time, James Harden.
Oh man, that's wild. Brandon, that's wild. That's almost disrespectful to the career of Joe Dumars because he's not on the top 50 either, right? That's almost a discredit to Dominique Wilkins, right? Unless he somehow makes this list, right?
Reggie Miller better make this list.
James, I mean, I'm not saying the talent ain't there. Obviously, he has, you know what I'm saying, the stats with triple doubles. Obviously, he has a scoring, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, he has the MVP. Obviously, he has the All-Star. But come on. I don't want this to be this, you know what I'm saying, you know, on James Harden. But, you know, quit on the franchise. You know what I'm saying? Pilot his way, overweight wise, out of a, you know what I'm saying, out of a city. You know what I mean? Did Manu Ginobili lock him up how many times? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When he was six, you know what I mean, back in Oklahoma. I don't, you know, again, to be on that list, you know what I mean? Like when you name, you said Giannis, you said Oscar, man, those guys got multiple MVPs and multiple All-Stars, you know what I'm saying, and championships, you know, Dirk championship, you know what I mean? So I don't know, you know what I'm saying? James got still a little bit more building on that resume for me to be named on the all-time 75 list.
I will tell you, he was on the questionable list for us on would he get in or not. So and it was at the bottom of our list. So, John, I don't know if you'll be able to hear this. I'm going to play. The Indiana Pacers just put out a little bit ago they're on their Twitter account, the comeback begins in 24 hours. They put a nice 1 minute video in. I'm going to try to play it. Hopefully you can hear it. It sounds very kind of, it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. It's narrated by Jermaine O'Neal, one of the Pacer greats.
Okay.
Everybody loves the comeback. In Indy, we told our fair share of over here. Comebacks can take new shapes, new forms. Sometimes coming back from injuries, even greater adversity. Maybe you choose to come back. How long you're gone, Indiana will always be gone. This is your comeback season, too. It hasn't felt the same in the past 18 months. You've missed that age. That only comes from 18,000 gold-blooded fans making you feel out of shape. We've been putting in the work. We're coming back stronger, faster, hungrier. It's time to make good on our promises. To return to the playoffs and make some real moves. The next great comeback story is about to be written. Can you help us write it?
So there we go. Always good to have Jermaine back with the Pacers after his tumultuous.
Yeah.
John, looks like they've went ahead and just started naming some of these other guys. I'm watching Chuck and Shaq and them talking about it and kind of on their list here, and the Twitter account's kind of done it. They've got, and I quote, some additions. I'm going to see if some of these names are extra. Steve Nash, which he was on my list. Steve Nash was on my list. John Stockton. George Mikan, obviously. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kevin McHale. Let's see. I said Nate Archibald. Dave Cowens, I did say. So the next three they just announced, next five they announced was Kevin McHale, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, George Mikan, John Stockton, and Steve Nash. Steve Nash, Steve, so I have no problem with those.
Right, so it sounds like Steve Nash is the latest, the newest name to be on that list, because as I do recall, when they first released that list back in 96, like some of the other guys, Kevin McHale, John Stockton, and like obviously Kareem Abdul-Jabbar were on there. Steve Nash, I know I'm gonna get a lot of hate mail on this one, man, saying he deserves it, and James Harden doesn't, especially, you know what I'm saying, considering some of Steve Nash's lack thereof of making it to an NBA final. I don't know. Steve Nash, you know what I'm saying? It's not even fringe for me, realistically. You know what I'm saying? I got no problem with that one. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to dig a little deeper with James Harden, though. Sorry.
Okay. John, I went ahead earlier on Facebook today. I put out my predictions that I always do for NBA.
Oh, man.
Okay. Did you see them?
Yeah, man, it's a little early for that, man.
Hey, it's not early, all right? I do it every year, and then I compare at the end of the season. Listen, I've got Nets, Bucks, Sixers, Heat, Celtics, Pacers, Bulls, Hawks, and then the Knicks and the Wizards round out the play-in.
Okay.
The Nets, I still think the Nets win the East, regardless if Kyrie Irving is there or not, because if they don't have Kyrie, I think they'll end up trading and getting some valuable pieces with him. If somehow there's a reunion and Kyrie decides to finally start playing basketball, I think that even makes their chances greater. I got the Bucks at number two, John. The reason why I didn't put him at number one, obviously, I think Kevin Durant's revenge tour is coming out this year. But I also believe, you know, the loss of P.J. Tucker for this Milwaukee Bucks team, I think, is going to weigh heavily. They don't have that kind of that asshole guy to rough it up out there on this team. And I'm going to expect a little digress from Chris Middleton this season. I really do. So that's why I have the Bucks at number two. Sixers, I debated with them, but with the Ben Simmons drama going on in that organization, I can't put them any higher than three.
Right.
Miami Heat, I moved them up with a Victor Oladipo coming back at some point, and with Kyle Lowry being added to that team, Miami is loaded up. That's why I've got them at four. Celtics, five, middle of the pack. They really didn't do too much to improve that team in the offseason.
Right.
Obviously, they changed the coach. Brad Stevens now is in the front office, and they got an old-ass Al Horford back. So I don't have too much with the Celtics. Pacers at six. I said six or seven with them and the Bulls. I think they could easily flip-flop. Pacers injuries-wise, that would put them in number seven if it continues to hamper them all season long. I got the Atlanta Hawks at number eight. Shout-out Trae Young in the newest NBA commercial, having the Reggie Miller jersey on. That was pretty cool to see. I got the Knicks at nine. I think the Knicks are turning it there. Okay, people, I'm going to go see the Knicks this Christmas. So I think they're going to be okay. They still don't have all the pieces they need for that organization. The team looks okay. They'll compete this year. We got them at nine. Then the rest of the East is what it is. I got the Nets over the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. I got the Nets going to the championship. On the other side, I got the Suns. I'm not confident in it. I have the Suns being the number one seed overall this year. I've got the Lakers at two. I almost had the Lakers at three. I flip-flopped them in the Jazz. I don't think the Lakers – I think there are going to be a lot of load management this year with the Lakers. They're not caring about the regular season just like last year. I know they got the seven and it ended up hurting them when they played Phoenix. But I got them at number two. I think they're just doing whatever to keep their head above water there, and they'll be fine just getting to the playoffs. I think I'm going to say a two seed. I'm probably a little high on it. Probably should be like a four seed probably. But I got them at two. Jazz at three. I got the Warriors expecting when Klay comes back in January to kind of help boost that team up there. I think the Warriors can finish fourth. Number five, I have Denver. They're without Jamal Murray with that devastating knee injury. I just don't see them go moving up anywhere kind of where they were last year. That's why I got them down to five. I'm missing somebody. Portland, I got at number six with Dame and CJ coming back. I think they continue to try to do it, make another change there. So I got them at six. The Mavs, I got at seven. They really still haven't put a piece there with Luka Doncic, besides putting Jason Kidd as your head coach. We still need some players there to be with him. Number eight, the eight seed, I have Clippers, John. And I know some people are going to be like, what in the hell? You got the Clippers eight. Well, you got to think about it. Kawhi ain't going to be back. Kawhi will not be back this season. So it's going to be Paul George's team. And with Paul George and your number two is Reggie Jackson, and they didn't do anything else to improve that team, I think they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot there. If it was in the East, yeah, maybe they're like a six or a five. But they're in the Western Conference, one of the toughest conferences. I think they're going to be an eight seed in that play-in tournament. Then I got Grizzlies and Spurs at 9-10. Overall, I've got the Lakers beating the Suns in the Western Conference Finals. And I got the Lakers and LeBron and AD and Russ and Melo up against Brooklyn. I've got the Lakers over the Nets to win the NBA title without Kyrie Irving. Without Kyrie Irving. If Kyrie Irving is playing, I may have to take the Nets over the Lakers. Only if he plays. So there's my NBA prediction.
Okay. Wow. I don't want to nitpick every bracket or every one, man. What I have kind of seen with preseason is that the Lakers, they'll have a switch that they'll try to turn on right around April, around May. But for the most part, if they're playing a team with young legs, young veteran legs, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily 19 and 21 year olds, but if they're playing somebody, a team with 28 year olds, 27 with a little bit more step and something to prove on them, they'll lose that game. Playoffs would be a different situation because, like I said, they're trying to win a championship. That's their ultimate goal, not necessarily being a number one seed or even a number two seed, kind of like you said.
Right.
When I look at the Nets on the other side, what does help them would be a healthy Kevin Durant, and if he can play, you know what I'm saying, and if he can play. Because they're still going to be offensive. They're basically like a West Coast team, offensive team. They're not necessarily – not that they stink in the defensive the power rankings or anything like that, because they do rebound the ball pretty well, but they're kind of thin when it comes to, like, blocking shots and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I won't ever trust James Harden when it comes to May and April. I had to remember. Give me time. You can never,
but he came out. He played hurt last time and did well.
Brandon, he either breaks down mentally or he breaks down physically. In Oklahoma, it was mentally. In Houston, it was mentally. Last year, it was physically. I get it. You know what I'm saying? But there's no – if you're out there, you're out there to play. I don't want to hear it. You know what I'm saying? The backboard, you know what I'm saying, three, it still went in. You know what I'm saying? With him having a hamstring, bad hamstring or not. So he's still a threat. What I will say is that we'll probably see the best version of Blake Griffin that we've seen because they're going to lean on him, even though he's somewhat of a quote unquote older player. With Kyrie being out, he'll have a more of an expanded role and be dependent upon to do, some of the old Blake Griffin type of things. You know what I'm saying? In pockets, in moments. You know what I'm saying? Not like Blake Griffin in 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? But definitely better than Blake Griffin that we saw with the Detroit Pistons. If the Pacers were such a mass unit, I would have them higher than the 7, 8, 6 kind of slot. When the Pacers aren't, when you have the availability of T.J. Warren and some of the other guard and LeVert, who's going to probably going to miss like 4 or 5 games is what I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying? That makes us look defensively, Carlisle. Again, he's still work in progress. They're better than they were with Bjorkren, right, what I've seen in preseason. But offensively, they're sharing the ball. Offensively, you like the adult rookie in the room in Durante. I know I'm messing up his last name, but, you know,
yep.
I like what I've seen out of him. He's going to be counted on to get minutes, and that can only help, you know what I'm saying, when LeVert, because him and LeVert kind of play the same position. So, okay, he gets to play starters minutes. Until LeVert comes back, and when LeVert comes back and needs to get back into it win-wise, guess what? We still got the rookie out here who still got some great availability. He's a great shot maker, right? Like you said, Boston hasn't done enough to kind of, move the needle. The Knicks brought in another name. That'll make the crowd happy with Kemba Walker. But again, it'll be health concerns with him. Can he stay, healthy over half a season, much less a full season, you know what I mean? You brought up a good point though, Brandon, and I want to give you kudos for that. Defensively, they will be a little differently at that position with Tucker going down south to join the Miami Heat. I kind of would have you know what I'm saying, whatever made whatever playoff, you know what I'm saying, not playoff, but whatever pay demands he kind of wanted, I kind of would have met those met with Tucker. You know what I'm saying? He, you know what I'm saying, because he played the best. If you could say the best defense was holding Kevin Durant to, you know what I'm saying, under 35, then, you know what I'm saying, that's what he did. But he played him tough, right? But they did bring in somewhat of an irritant. We have to remember. They brought in over the season, and they just paid him a 2-year extension. Our buddy from Duke, Mr. Trippum himself,
Grayson,
the amazing Grayson Allen, who you know what I'm saying, who in his career, in his short career, if you anybody remember, he has the ability to score. He scored 50 some points when he was in uniform with Utah. And last year they use him kind of as a spot of 3-point shooter, but they, you know what I'm saying, they use him basically, you know what I'm saying, you put on the opposition's best offensive wing player, you know what I'm saying? So, and he kind of held his own. He's kind of ran into a numbers game with Memphis, and that's the reason why they made the trade. But he bring more depth to their backcourt. You'll get DiVincenzo back, the guy who took an early playoff exit with an ankle injury. You get him back, so you get more offense and defense out of him. So I like the Bucks to kind of keep pace. As long as Giannis is out there and he's super Giannis, and, you know what I'm saying, he popping knees back in, and, you know what I'm saying, taking, maybe, you know what I'm saying, and avoiding a major catastrophe injury, man, they'll be right there at the top. I know you had him at 2. That's still technically the top. I still like him to, you know what I'm saying, be a 1 seed.
You think Middleton will have
a letdown
season?
Here's the thing. There might be some tiredness there. You think about it, because he went from winning a championship to, like, 2 days or 3 days rest to the Olympic play, right? And,
right,
like, you know what I'm saying? I know there's been a lot of time in between, but, like, man, the human body is only made to run up and down a court or run up and down, you know what I'm saying, in practice and all those things, you know what I'm saying, flights and all those things that kind of go with that. We ain't just playing basketball here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? There is some things in between. So will Middleton play out of his mind for the regular season? Probably not. But again, he you know what I'm saying, his playoff game has ascended. Has it ascended to the levels of, you know what I'm saying, Splash Brothers or Reggie, or, you know what I'm saying? I say not. But he's got the hardware that says a little bit differently. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of like the Bucks at number one, to be honest with you. I can't necessarily give you, you know what I'm saying, who's going to end up where just yet, man. I'm just glad basketball is back. You know, we're tipping off tonight. Pacers tip off tomorrow. They play the Hornets. Hopefully we can get the Hornets that showed up last week against Dallas and, you know what I'm saying, and are out of shape, right, and blow them out the water.
Hornets are 2-point favorites.
I got the Pacers, man. I'm always, you know what I'm saying, I'm always favorite the Pacers. But it would be good, like I said, going back to the Pacers, it would be good to see, like, what, you know what I'm saying, what they, you know what I'm saying, Kevin has kind of put together in the offseason, put together and not necessarily be a mass unit. But, again, the foot, T.J. Warren's foot hasn't healed up properly or as fast as, you know what I'm saying, you and I or any fan had kind of desired. And, again, Caris LeVert, he went from fighting cancer to fighting back spasms. And, you know what I'm saying, the human body can only take so much. So, again, once we can get some of these guys back, man, I would, you know, say look out for the Pacers. But, again, that's if and buts. But if and buts don't win games.
The drama in Philly. Joel Embiid today says, man, I'm tired of caring about that guy. I don't care about him anymore.
Right.
Doc kicked him out, didn't want to sub out, didn't want to listen for a defensive drill. They got to find a trade now, right? It's there's no making up, no amends.
Right. Ben Simmons basically showed up so he could get paid. The NBA had put his account. The NBA had put the money that he was due for, like, preseason and, you know what I'm saying, and showing up for training camp and whatnot in escrow. And it was basically going to, you know what I'm saying, kind of, you know what I'm saying, find him off of that. Once he found out, you know what I'm saying, that he was losing more money that he was actually going to be making, because, you know, nobody's going to pay for players who ain't going to pay, even though NBA contracts are guaranteed, right? He showed up for work. He seemingly kind of showed up for work with a positive attitude until today. The Philadelphia 76ers are trying to win a championship. They wouldn't have fired the other coach before they fired Brown, before they hired Doc Rivers, if they weren't trying to win a championship. And that particular person was off the Popovich family tree, and they thought they were getting, you know what I'm saying, a level of coaching to Popovich. But again, you know what I'm saying, the players got to execute. The coach can only match, can only, you know what I'm saying, come up with so many plays and X and O's. You know, the players got to play. At this point, the divorce is clear. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be defiant against the coach who's, you know what I'm saying, who's basically trying to put you back. I get it. You know what I mean? There was hurt feelings over, like, but how long are your feelings going to be hurt over the summer? You know what I mean? How long is your feelings going to be hurt? Either you're going to play better or you're not. But like I told you, man, I mean, off air, like the news, the word around Philly with the Philly media, and they can love you and turn on you, you know what I'm saying, like, kind of like they did with Carson Wentz, right?
And Santa Claus.
But there's always some truth in some things, you know what I'm saying, even with the media. There's always some truth somewhere in there. Like, Ben Simmons is not interested in winning. If he was, then the jump shots would—that's something he'd be working on. The free throws would be something he'd be working. We would see improvement of them. Not Doc Rivers kind of hiding him on offense like he did. He ground ran versus what Doc Rivers ran. Doc Rivers changed up so that Ben Simmons would still be effective, but not be a lame duck. Okay, well, we know he can't shoot from three. Let's not put him in a bad situation. Okay, so again, man, there was a deal on the table. So, you know what I'm saying, a little bit. So no, I'm sorry. Let me rewind. The real around Philadelphia is that he wants to be a star and not necessarily interested in winning, okay? So I know D-Cop was on here earlier or on the Facebook live chat earlier saying to bring Ben Simmons here. Like, no, Pacers, I mean, though there's issues with the Pacers and winning championships, that's not who you want in your locker room. The Pacers don't want anybody being more – trying to be – you're trying to be – he wants to be bigger than basketball. And that's okay if that's what that's one of your goals. You want to be – he wants to be a star off the court. He wants to have reality shows. You know what I'm saying? He wants some of the things that kind of come with being an American athlete. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're trying to win a championship, Brandon, there's something – those two things don't mix. I get it. You see – people see Shaq, the Lakers, Kobe, Magic Johnson – and, you know what I'm saying, it's LeBron in Miami and, you know what I'm saying, those Knicks teams back in the 70s. And, you know what I'm saying, you see, like, what kind of comes with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, long cars, fur coats, the Ric Flair kind of lifestyle, right? Showtime,
woo!
Right? But, again, Brandon, there's a lot of work that everybody doesn't see. So you see, like, Shaq came into, you know what I'm saying, when they were winning, Shaq was in shape. Kobe was a monster keyed in. Like you trade him or I want to win, period.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, there's places for Ben Simmons to play where he can just be the guy that gets triple-doubles and stats, and if we win, great. If we lose, doesn't matter. I still got paid. I got my money, and I got great stats. I'm moving up the ladder. That's the reason why Golden State hung up the phone, I think. That's the reason why the Pacers hung up the phone. If anybody remembers, there was rumors about him going to Golden State. There was rumors about him coming here for Brogdon, right? You know what I'm saying? But once you get into the noodles of, like, what was going on in my guy's brain, like, again, the Pacers win a championship, going to the playoffs for sure. That's what the Pacers want. Go to the playoffs and win some games, right? You can't win if everybody ain't trying to win. And, like, from what's reported out of Philadelphia, Ben Simmons ain't trying to win. And if with that being the case, Joel Embiid is tired of being a clown. Remember all those years people kind of say, oh, man, the talent level, look what he can do. He could potentially be the next Olajuwon, this, that, and other. He puts up, you know what I'm saying, monster points, puts up monster blocks, puts up monster rebounds. Well, you need a running buddy. This is crazy about winning and going to the play. But, dude, I, Brandon, was on record saying the two teams that the Brooklyn Nets didn't want to play was the Milwaukee Bucks because of the matchup, and the second was beat Philadelphia. They had no answer for Joel Embiid, just like they didn't really have an answer inside for Giannis. But, again, nobody necessarily wins, you know, saying one player wins the championship by itself. So, again, you can't – if everybody in the Sixers organization is trying to win more than just regular season game and go more than just two rounds in the playoffs, Ben Simmons, he doesn't want to be there. You have to trade him. What's boggling, maybe the phone gets picked back up now. Houston had deals that they had enough to get him, but, again, the general manager of the Sixers wanted more. The Spurs, believe it or not, Popovich, who desperately needs just talent, wanted the service of Ben Simmons and was going to send two players, but the Sixers hung up the phone and said it wasn't enough. So, again, he's getting to a point where Like, I get it, dude. You know what I'm saying? You want to be this, that, and the other, but, like, there's going to be only so many places you can go. And sounds like, unfortunately, it might be – I think it's still going to be somewhere out west. But, again, you want to play for a – you want to be a dysfunctional player playing for a dysfunctional organization, Sacramento's open for you. You want to be a dysfunctional player playing for a dysfunctional organization, Orlando's open for you. You know what I'm saying? But again, man, the days are numbered in Philadelphia.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's a big soap prop out there. Looking out west, what we think of this team here?
LeBron James,
and the Lakers, AD, Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan. I mean, my God, that they got a ton of bigs out there. Carmelo's on that team. Russ now. How does Russ fit in? What are you expecting, I guess, with the Lake Show going into this season?
What I've seen out of them is that they have a matchup on basically any time they have anybody, you know what I'm saying, one-on-one matchup, they do. And it's not necessarily that Carmelo will be dependent upon, like, how he was even in, you know what I'm saying. Well, no, I think they're trying to get the same Carmelo that they've seen in Portland, right? You know what I'm saying, a guy that, you know what I'm saying, can get you 12, and as long as he don't give up, you know what I'm saying, 15 or 17 points on the other end, you know what I'm saying, he'll stick and be a rotational guy for him, you know what I'm saying? What kind of concerns me, there'll still be a top defensive team. You got a block party, right, with DeAndre Jordan. You got a block party with Dwight Howard. You got a block party, you know what I'm saying, with AD out there. You know what I'm saying, defensively, you know what I'm saying, you come up in there, you know what I'm saying, your stuff might end up in Jack Nicholson's lap, Selma Hayek's lap, whoever set the game, Hollywood star, your ball, you know what I'm saying, your shot might end up in their lap. So defensively, they'll be rock solid. What concerns me about the Lakers is that will they have enough against spring chickens like how we saw against Phoenix? Will they have enough when LeBron, his lateral movement ain't necessarily great anymore? He's not a great individual, but he's still great on help side defense, right? You know what I'm saying? Those are things that kind of concern me. Fourth quarter, can they sustain a lead, and can they close out a game, a regular season game, so that they won't have a tremendous slide should LeBron go into, you know what I'm saying, maintenance mode, or, you know what I'm saying, and AD, like, he's the young guy of the bunch, right? So a lot of the heavy lifting is, and you know, saying he's not necessarily been apt to the challenge, but a lot of heavy lifting is going to kind of weigh on his shoulders this year. And like I said, can he show improve? That remains to be seen.
Yeah. Okay. It'll be interesting. So the top 25 guys have now all been introduced: Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Giannis, Nate Archibald, Charles Barkley, Bob Cousy, Dave Cowens, Kevin Durant, Julius Erving, George Gervin, Hal Greer, James Harden, Elvin Hayes, Jerry Lucas, Moses Malone, Kevin McHale, George Mikan, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, Hakeem Olajuwon, Bob Pettit, Willis Reed, the Big O, Oscar Robertson, David Robinson, Bill Russell, and John Stockton. That's your top 25. Not the top 25, but that's the first day one reveal. I'm sorry. Let me put it that way before I get screamed at.
Got you.
Just looking at the list that I had, I just found the list, me and my guy did. KD we had obviously in there. Dirk we had in there. Steve Nash we had in there. Giannis we had in there. Let's see. We had on our five to get to the 75, we had Giannis. We had Harden. Harden was our number two option to get in. If we had to rank them, it was Giannis, Harden, Dennis Rodman, Tracy McGrady, and then between Parker, Ginobili, and Kyrie, that was going to be your next three that was going to be questionables.
I doubt Kyrie makes it. I doubt Tracy McGrady makes it.
Could you believe Dennis Rodman wasn't in it?
I can believe it. Though he has great stats, defensive, you know what I'm saying, player, probably one of the greatest defensive players ever. It's just, you know what I'm saying, some of the off-the-court stuff that writers are just discounting. And that's kind of who people kind of come up with. I assume that's who people kind of come up with this list, is sports writers. Probably it's probably some ex-players too, I would assume.
Yeah.
But you know, the off-the-court stuff is probably what disqualifies Dennis Rodman. It would disqualify me, my vote, if I had a vote, but I can believe it.
You may need a vote. Is it too late for me to change my pick already? I mean, Brooklyn's getting freight trained right now in the first quarter. They need to settle down out here against Milwaukee. John, Purdue Boilermakers coming in number 7, latest AP poll, the first AP poll. Boilers at number 7. It's looking good. Can't wait for the Boilermakers basketball season to start. We're a couple weeks, 3 weeks away from NBA or college basketball starting. Herron Boone's coming back with the Yankees and signing an extension. I know a lot of Yankees fans not happy with that.
Shocker.
A lot.
Shocker. Shocker.
Yeah.
I know we haven't really touched on baseball. I'm kind of shocked about that. Almost as shocked about the Dodgers being down. I think they get back into it as far as the playoffs concerned against the Braves concerned, but they can't get down too much more. Otherwise, they're gonna get swept.
Reggie Sykes talking about you, and that's probably why he's gone not talking to us. John, I want to know Walking Dead wise Pope. I saw you do a little ranking. He's a bad dude.
Man, have you seen the 8th episode? I don't know where. Are you up to like where everything is?
I'm caught up.
Dude, like, he's dead. Sorry,
he's dead.
Spoiler alert.
Killed him just like that.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, he's a megalomaniac. We've seen
that was a shock to you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was like, damn, he gonna get away? Like, and then homegirl, you know, saying this makes like, well, you know, it's the world of the Walking Dead, so anything can happen. She's loyal to the family, which she made emphatic, you know what I'm saying, by stabbing him technically in the back, right, after the fight with Daryl. Was he a cool character that I would kind of want to see around, stick around? Yeah, but better than Negan? Nah. Better than the governor? Nah. Better than Alpha? Better than Alpha? I don't think him and Alpha might be on the same level, military, like this, you know what I'm saying? Like how to attack something, right? But like, nah, I got him ranked below. He might be better than the people. He might be better than the people on Terminus.
How about Rosita? Rosita just going ham outside the house in the middle of that storm.
Oh wow, that was a moment, wasn't it? That was a moment. She's like, I'm gonna clear, but you know the zombies still kept on coming. But like, nah, I thought it was. I can't wait for it to come back on right next year. Or so. This was a little bit slow moving, right? I know they're going to drag it out because it's last season or whatever. But like, nah,
I don't
man,
know what's up. I don't know what's up with the other place because
the Commonwealth.
We're getting ready to find out who the big person is in charge, and apparently they're in some trouble.
Well, let's hope it's a shocker. Let's hope it's like Rick with amnesia or something.
Damn.
And Rick's running the Commonwealth, and they got to give him a song with somebody to come back and shake him out of his amnesia.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of movies, Chucky, TV show Chucky's back again tonight. Last week's episode was pretty good, so if you're looking for it, tonight, 10 o'clock, Tuesday night, USA Network, Chucky. By the way, John, the ratings came out for wrestling last week, last Friday. For Rampage and SmackDown, since SmackDown got moved to FS1 because of baseball, and then Rampage decided to go an extra half-hour buy-in, and then SmackDown went an extra half-hour as well. SmackDown won the ratings war again on Friday, and they were on a secondary network of Fox Sports 1. So,
Oh, man.
Viewership on this past Monday night as well, viewership for Raw was actually up high for it, so...
Well, I miss both shows. You know what I'm saying? Both WWE and AEW. I know we got a date, quote unquote, with KFed Connection next month when AEW comes here. Hopefully they put on. I mean, I know they put on a good show as far as like you know what I'm saying talent. To be honest with you, Brandon, the AEW storyline's got to get better. They got to get more consistency.
Do you like that MJF video I sent you?
I still gotta watch it. Shame on me. Shame on me.
Damn.
I gotta watch it. Sorry, dude. I'll get to it.
All right. I got nothing left, my man. You got anything?
Yeah, I got a couple things, man. I got to say peace to Dick Vitale, man. Dick Vitale was openly talking about his cancer diagnosis this past week, and like, man, he's older gentleman going through chemotherapy is always scary, man. But you know, Dickie V, I know at some point, you know what I'm saying, whether you don't like Dick Vitale because he's a, you know what I'm saying, he's a front runner, he's always cheering for whoever's favored to win, right? He is a great ambassador of basketball. And you know what I'm saying, you don't ever want to see anybody that you're a fan of going, you know what I'm saying, going through any type of pain. So I just wish Dickie V a speedy recovery and, like, you know what I'm saying, stay strong. Outside of that, man, I also want to give a great shout out to the new, there's a new title town in Chicago, and it ain't the Bulls. Chicago Sky won their first championship. Candace Parker delivered. You know what I'm saying? You talk about Hall of Fame resume. She's got it. But like I said, they just won can't say gentlewoman sweep of the Phoenix Mercury this past week. Pretty good series. Even though Taurasi kind of lost her shit. Kind of lost her shit afterwards, man. She busted down a door. I have to show you. I send you the door she busted down because she didn't have a great series at all. Yeah, they brought it out to the parade. But yeah, man, they had a great. But unfortunately, you know, so even though the Mercury made it to the finals, she didn't necessarily have a great run. It's just some career lows in scoring and turnovers and everything. This past year, this past finals run. So it ain't probably into her career. But you know, saying the dominance that she had as a younger player is it ain't there no more. But like, congrats! Like I said, congrats to the Chicago Sky for winning their first championship, WNBA championship. So outside of that, man, Brandon, you want me to close it down?
Closer, Crown Jewels this Thursday. Lesnar and Reigns for the title. Heyman in the middle. That's the only thing I'm looking forward to this Thursday.
Man, my personal gut feeling, man, there ain't gonna be no championship. No championships being, you know what I'm saying, traded.
King of the Ring finals too.
Yeah, I got. Oh, is it? That's right. Okay.
Yep.
Well, hey, man, Crown Jewel. My ear will be peeled to the street. You know what I'm saying? But ain't no championships gonna, you know what I'm saying, be traded on that particular pay per view. But like, nah, man. Outside of that, I just want to say thank you for everybody for calling tonight. Thank you for everybody for chiming in on the live chat on Facebook. If you ain't on the live chat, you need to get on it. Did we miss any calls today, Brandon?
Nope.
Okay, cool. So maybe we'll hear from Sweet Lou and Reggie some other time. But I also want to say, make sure I thank our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, and Three Wiseman Logistics. Yo, Crossroads Sports listeners, support those who support us, man. Check out the links that is on our page on all our socials, and click the link. I mean, dude, they got services that you might be interested that you might need that a relative might need. And like I said, I know three Wiseman Logistics is hiring, so definitely check out. I left the link how many times in the Facebook Live page. So outside of that, we had a great show today, and we're just gonna keep on rocking them out. We're gonna have another great show next week. Outside of that, thanks for listening.
Three foolish men hiding behind a fake name forever. Just stop. You're a fraud. Just stop.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.